Shadows pooled like living ink at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains as dusk, both the hour and the man, settled over Ash Hollow, Virginia. The town's neon-lit strip malls and late-night diners flickered to life behind Mira Harper as she guided her battered Jeep off the interstate, chasing the rumor of a forgotten colonial ruin hidden somewhere beyond the tree line. She had come for architectural photography, eager to rescue her failing freelance career with a series of dramatic night shots, but the forest greeted her with a silence so absolute that it felt rehearsed. A brook whispered somewhere in the dark. The scent of wet pine clung to the air, and with it a strange metallic tang that made the hairs on Myra's arms stand up. She flicked on her headlamp, raised her camera, and advanced. Leaves crackled underfoot, but every so often an echo repeated the sound half a beat later, as though the night itself walked in lockstep with her. "Nice evening to trespass, isn't it?" The voice, low, velvet, amused, floated from the shadows behind her. Mira spun, heart thundering, and found Dusk Arden leaning against a white oak. Even in the weak glow, he was striking, tall, shoulders squared as though carved from granite, raven hair tousled, eyes a gold-flecked gray that seemed to collect rather than reflect the light. A faint scar bisected one brow. Another rode the edge of his jaw like a half-healed slash. Mira swallowed. "You scared me. Apologies." A smile ghosted across his lips, then vanished, as though smiles cost him. "Locals avoid these woods after nightfall. They say the ruins are cursed." Mira adjusted her lens to hide her nerves. "Curses make good photographs." Dust's laugh was soft, but it rippled through the trees like distant thunder. "Or good obituaries." The joke, if it was one, failed to land. An inexplicable pull steadied Mira, despite the alarm bells in her mind. Every instinct screamed stranger danger. Every emotion leaned in, hungry to know more. "Are you the caretaker of the ruins?" she asked. "I'm tied to them," he said after a pause. "Call me a guardian, if names matter." Guardian. The word felt ceremonial, older than English, and it sparked her curiosity. She motioned with her chin toward a barely visible footpath. "Will you show me?" Dusk considered her. The forest breathed between them. Finally, he stepped aside, arms sweeping in invitation. "Stay close. The valley has teeth." The descent was steeper than Mira expected. Gnarled roots formed natural ladders, and the dark thickened as though jealous of their headlamp beams. Dusk moved with preternatural ease. She struggled but refused to ask for help. Whenever her footing slipped, his hand appeared, steady, warm, gone again before she could thank him. They emerged into a clearing where moonlight pooled like silver water. In the center rose the ruins of St. Aubrey's Abbey, walls fractured, altar cracked, stained glass shards glittering in the moss. Against the night sky, the stone arches looked like fangs erupting from the earth. Myra's shudder clicked in rapid succession. She wanted texture. She wanted atmosphere. But more than anything, she wanted to capture the man who stood amid broken history as though he belonged to it. "You photograph shadows," Dusk observed. "Most chase the light." "Light is obvious," she replied, angling for a shot. "Shadows tell better stories." His gaze lingered. "Careful. Some shadows talk back." Before she could press, a low howl shattered the silence, close, feral, vibrating the ribs of the night. Myra's breath hitched. Wolves. Too deep in the south, she thought. Yet the sound circled the clearing, multiplied by echo until it became a chorus. Dusk stiffened. "We need to leave." A shape lunged from the tree line. Massive, fur bristling, eyes molten gold. Mira froze, shudder half-pressed. The creature was wolf-shaped but impossibly large, muscles rolling beneath its coat like molten rock. It snarled, revealing teeth capable of puncturing steel. Dusk stepped forward, placing himself between Mira and the beast. His voice, when it came, was not human, a guttural command vibrating with alpha authority. The monster halted, hackles twitching, then slunk back with a reluctant whine. Myra's legs threatened collapse. What is that? Dusk didn't answer. He glared after the retreating shadow, fists clenched until knuckles bleached white. A tremor ran through his frame, and for a heartbeat his eyes blazed the same molten hue as the beast's. "Mira," he whispered, voice cracked open with urgency. "You must forget this place." Confusion warred with terror. Tell me what's happening. Not tonight. He grabbed her wrist, skin against skin, burn against burn. But if you value your life, you will run. A second howl erupted, angrier, closer. Dusk's head snapped toward the trees. Mira couldn't move. Her feet were stone, her heart a drumline. Somewhere inside her, courage or recklessness sparked. She tightened her grip on her camera. I don't run from stories, she said, though her voice trembled. For the first time, something like despair flashed across Dusk's features. Then you may never leave. Without warning, the sky split with lightning, though no storm had been forecast. Electric blue illuminated the ruins, revealing claw marks etched into ancient stone, evidence of battles no history book recorded. Wind howled through broken arches, carrying whispers Mira couldn't decipher. Dusk jerked as though struck by an unseen blow. A vein pulsed at his throat. His breathing grew ragged. The pact, he muttered, almost to himself. It's breaking. His pupils stretched vertical, feline, before snapping back. Mira stumbled away, pulse screaming. Dusk, your eyes. He backed into shadow, voice rasping. This is what I am. What they made me. You weren't supposed to see. Myra's mind flooded with images she couldn't comprehend. Moonlit hunts, blood-slick stone floors. A silver dagger plunged into a beating heart. She pressed her palms to her temples, dizzy. Somehow, she knew these visions came from him, leaking across a boundary neither had consented to cross. The monstrous howl sounded once more, this time answered by a dozen others. The forest around them shimmered, alive with stalking shapes. Dusk's jaw set. Mira tasted the metallic tang of imminent carnage. If they reach you, he said, voice brittle with dread, they will bind you to our curse. Run south, follow the creek. Don't look back. Mira shook her head, tears springing unchecked. I won't abandon you. Thunder cracked overhead. The ruins vibrated. Dust silhouette blurred, human outline melting into something broader, furred, then snapped back as he fought the change. Veins glowed faintly beneath his skin, like rivers of moonlight. Mira, please. The plea lanced her heart. Choice weighed heavier than any camera bag. Flee to safety and forsake unanswered questions, or stand beside a man morphing into myth. Around them, eyes ignited in the dark, dozens, hungry, closing in. Myra's camera strap slipped from her shoulder, landing in the dirt with a muffled thud. She drew a trembling breath and made her decision. Echoes of Myra's choice reverberated through the clearing like an invisible bell. Instead of bolting south toward safety, toward daylight, she stepped to Dust's side, matching his defiant stance even as the circle of glowing eyes tightened. Wind whipped her ponytail across her face. The camera at her feet glinted, abandoned. For an instant, the world shrank to two heartbeats and a promise unspoken. Then the first creature lunged. Instinct overruled terror. Mira snatched a fallen timber, swinging like a staff. Wood cracked against a lupine skull. The beast yelped and fell back. Adrenaline surged, silencing the rational voice screaming that a hardwood branch was useless against monsters out of folklore. Beside her, Dusk finally surrendered to the transformation he'd fought. Bones reshaped with a sickening pop and grind. Fur rippled over skin. His snarl split the night like tearing silk. Where a man had stood, an ebony werewolf now loomed, a head taller than the attacker's, eyes molten silver rather than gold. Yet the authority in that gaze remained unmistakably his. A single roar scattered the lesser wolves. But fear alone could not hold them for long. Something stronger, darker, herded them forward. Mira glimpsed it at the tree line. A lupine figure draped in barbed shadow, antlers like charred antimony sprouting from its skull. Its eyes glowed crimson, and each beat of its ragged breath leaked black mist. Dusk's mind voice thundered directly into Myra's thoughts, startling her. The horn shade has claimed my pack. He commands them with blood oaths bound to the Earthstone altar. If we break that stone, the pact shatters. Myra's knees wobbled, half from the telepathic intrusion, half from the revelation that this nightmare had a name. But questions could wait. Survival demanded action. She scanned the ruin. Moonlight slanted through the abbey's hollow nave, illuminating an altar slab veined with quartz and streaked by something darker than moss. A crack, thin yet pulsing with dull red light, ran down its center. The F-stone. Can you hold them? She whispered, uncertain whether her voice or her thoughts carried. For a breath. No longer. Mira darted for the altar. Claw scraped stone behind her as Dusk intercepted two wolves, hurling them aside like rag dolls. Snarls, yelps, and the dull thud of bodies colliding with pillars echoed through the nave. Somewhere overhead, stained glass shards rattled in their frames. Reaching the altar, she braced her palms against its surface. Power thrummed, cold, ancient, eager. The quartz veins pulsed like a sick heartbeat. She needed leverage, a hammer, explosives, anything. Instead, she had trembling hands and a branch already splintering. Desperation sparked memory. 2 summers ago, she'd photographed a Cherokee stoneworking workshop in North Carolina. The elder explained that sudden temperature shifts could fracture granite faster than steel chisels. Heat and cold. The camera flashed. It emitted brief but intense light, barely heat, but perhaps enough when focused. Her pack contained a portable flash strobe far stronger than the built-in. If she could wire the capacitor directly against the crack. Mira dashed back for her equipment, heart a metronome set to allegro. Wolf snapped at her heels. One grazed her calf, tearing denim and skin. She bit off a scream, grabbed the flash, and rolled beneath a collapsed arch just as teeth clashed where her neck had been. Pain seared, hot and wet. She pushed it aside, ripping open the strobe's plastic casing with shaking fingers. Circuits glittered like a city at night. She had no cutters, so she used a shard of glass to sever the power leads, exposing copper. Hurry. Dusk growled across the nave, his mental voice frayed. Mira risked a glance. His flank bled where claws had found purchase, yet he fought on, a whirlwind of charcoal fur and silver eyes. Wolves lay strewn, some whimpering, others unconscious, but more poured from the trees like living flood water. Over them towered the horn shade, red gaze fixed on the altar. It sensed her intent. A snarl boiled from its throat. The ground quaked, roots exploded upward, writhing like serpents to ensnare her ankles. Mira slashed with the glass shard, hacking fibrous tendrils before they could tighten. One root caught her wounded leg. White agony flared, but she kept cutting. Flash wires free. She crawled back to the altar, duct tape rolled dangling from her belt. She pressed the exposed copper into the glowing crack, taping madly. The quartz hummed louder as though curious. Please work, she hissed, thumbing the charge button. The capacitor whined, rising pitch screaming toward overload. 30 seconds, too long. Wolves closed. Dust barreled into the shade, jaws locking around one antler. They crashed into a pillar, shattering ancient stone. The shade's black mist seeped into Dusk's fur, sizzling like acid. His howl of pain shuddered through Myra's bones. 20 seconds. Mira forced herself upright despite the root still embedded in her calf. She slammed the flash's plastic lens directly into the fissure, hoping to focus energy inward. 10 seconds. The altar's pulse syncopated with her racing heart. Wolf eyes ringed her in a tightening noose, gold, hungry, afraid of their own obedience. She saw it now. They were prisoners too. 5. The shade tore free of Dusk's bite, antler cracked but intact. It raised a clawed hand and gestured. Wolves lunged as one. 4. Mira screamed, not in fear but command. Stay back. 3. And they did. For a single breath, the pack hesitated, caught between the shade's compulsion and an older loyalty to their true alpha. 2. Lightning burst from the flash, a sphere of blinding white that swallowed altar, ruins, trees, sky. Thunder followed, deafening. Quartz veins spiderwebbed, glowed, and finally shattered in a cascade of glittering shards. 0. Silence dropped like a curtain. When the afterimage faded, Mira found herself on her knees amid smoking rubble. The altar was split clean through. The fissure no longer glowed. All around, wolves blinked, confusion softening their eyes to a muted amber. Across the nave, the horn shade staggered, antlers crumbling to ash. Black mist bled from its seams. It turned toward Mira, no, toward something behind her and let out a keening wail. Then its body collapsed inward, folding like burnt paper, leaving only a smear of shadows that seeped into the stones and disappeared. Mira exhaled a trembling laugh, equal parts relief and disbelief. Then the world tilted. She had forgotten the gash in her leg. Blood soaked her sock. Dusk, now human again though naked and battered, limped to her. Moonlight silvered the bruises marring his ribs. He knelt, cupping her face with hands still dusted in quartz. "You broke the pact," he murmured, off-threading his voice. "The pact is free because of you." Mira managed a wry smile. "Good story material, right?" But Dusk's expression darkened. He traced the torn fabric at her calf, fingers coming away scarlet. A crescent-shaped bite mark ringed the wound. Small, too small for any of the Shade's beasts. His eyes widened, then shuddered with dread. "That's not from my wolves," he whispered. "It's ancestral." Cold spread through Myra's veins. Already the edges of the bite tingled, skin beneath fever bright. Memories not hers flickered, running on four legs beneath argent skies, tasting the wind for prey. Panic warred with a growing, alien exhilaration. "Tell me it can be cured," she begged. Dusk's silence was answer enough. He looked at her as though seeing a fragile star about to implode under its own gravity. In the distance, sirens wailed. Someone must have reported thunder, lights, chaos. The human world was coming, and with it questions none of them could safely answer. Dusk stood, offering his hand. "We have hours, maybe less, before first change. We need to reach the Dree Woods beyond county lines. The lunar springs there may slow the spread." Mira clasped his hand, hauled herself upright despite vertigo. "And if they don't, then I teach you to run on 4 feet." His voice cracked, equal parts terror and tenderness. They limped toward the forest edge, leaving camera, jeep, and the shattered altar behind. Overhead, clouds parted to reveal a moon now blood-tinted, as though mourning the freedom purchased. Behind them, an ember red eye blinked open in the rubble, one last fragment of a stone still pulsing, waiting. Ashes stirred beneath Myra's boots as she and Dusk pushed deeper into the National Park backcountry, trading paved roads for deer trails choked by rhododendron and sourwood. Night had sagged into the blue hour before dawn, and every shadow seemed eager to bloom into something with teeth. Myra's calf throbbed, hot, electric, while her mind fluttered between terror and a fierce, bewildering joy each time forest sense sharpened beyond human range. They walked in silence until Dusk veered off the trail and ducked under a fallen hemlock. The ground beyond dipped into a bowl of mist, Dree Woods. Fireflies spun lazy spirals over a narrow pool whose surface shimmered like quicksilver despite the chilly air. "The Lunar Springs," Dusk said, voice hushed as chapel prayer. Water rises through moon-kissed quartz veins. It slows the turning. Mira knelt, palms trembling. "Slows, doesn't stop?" He hesitated. "Legends speak of one cure. Reunite the heartstone, the altar's core, with the living blood of the witch who forged it. But the heartstone was stolen generations ago." "By who?" A branch snapped. Out of the mist stepped a woman with glossy black hair cropped at the jaw and striking silver irises. Wolf, but not quite. A faint sigil, three interlocking crescents, glowed on her collarbone. "Me," she answered. "And I've regretted it every sunrise since." Dust's posture stiffened. "Celine." Mira recognized the name from local legends, an Arden who vanished after defying her pack's laws. Here she was, barefoot, guilt carved into every line of her face. Celine's gaze softened when it landed on Myra's bandaged leg. "The Shade's bite is ancient magic. If we don't mend the tear between flesh and spirit soon, you'll become its vessel." Mira swallowed. "I'm not eager to audition." Celine produced a leather pouch. From it, she withdrew a shard of stone that pulsed ember red, identical to the fragment Mira had glimpsed in the ruins. "When I stole the heartstone, it shattered. Each piece seeks a host. One lodged itself in the Shade we just defeated. Another," she studied Myra's calf, "has likely burrowed under your skin." Dusk's jaw worked, anger warring with desperation. "Why did you take it?" "Because our father ordered the pact," Celine spat, voice cracking. "He bartered our pact's freedom for power. I thought if I broke the heartstone, I could end his tyranny." Myra's head swam, pain blurred into vision. She saw scenes not her own, an ardent patriarch kneeling before a hooded crone, trading blood for immortality. Behind him, a girl with Selene's eyes wept. They eased Mira into the pool. Cold water bit her wounds. The bite mark glowed beneath the surface like molten iron. Selene knelt at the edge, stone shard poised over Myra's skin. "This will hurt," she warned. "Quartz awakens quartz." The shard touched water. White light erupted, shooting tendrils across the spring. Mira screamed. Her leg felt flayed by lightning. Yet beneath the agony, clarity bloomed. Memories that were not merely Dusk's or Selene's, but hers flooded in. A colonial-era woman named Catherine Harper, midwife and covert witch, forging the Heartstone to bind the Arden Wolves after her son was slain in a border skirmish. Catherine's descendants carried dormant magic in their bloodline, Myra's bloodline. The revelation hit like a hammer. The curse wasn't random. The valley had called her home. Light dimmed. Mira gasped, blinking tears. When she looked, a pebble-sized crystal now sat on her palm, drawn from a bite wound, leaving flesh raw but healing. Its glow had faded to soft rose, as though soothed. Selene exhaled in relief. The Heartstone remembers its true keeper. But triumph died as the ground shook. From beyond the ridge rose a chorus of engines, ATVs, and pickup trucks. Red and blue strobes flashed through the trees. "Ash Hollow deputies," Dusk muttered. "They'll shoot first, ask later." Selene's nostrils flared. Not just deputies, father's loyalists among them. If they see the Heartstone reforming around Mira, they'll finish what the Shade couldn't. Mira struggled to her feet. Weakness tugged, but power thrummed under her skin now, ancient, steady. "Then we move." They followed a dry creek bed west until dawn smeared the horizon coral pink. Birds welcomed morning, oblivious to the knot of fugitives slipping between pines. Selene led, Dusk flanked, and Mira limped in the middle, clutching the rose-hued crystal. They paused in the ruins of an abandoned mining town. Rusting silos, buckled tracks, graffiti pleading save U.S. in aerosol script. Dusk scouted ahead and returned with unsettling news. "Roadblocks on every highway. My father wants the Heartstone back before moonrise." Selene's expression hardened. "We must take Mira to the old Dominion Bank in Richmond. That's where I hid the largest fragment, in a safe deposit vault under a false lease." Mira blinked. "Your dad's goons will expect us to go rural, not downtown." "Exactly." Selene offered a tired grin. "Urban jungle, harder for wolves to track." Dusk reluctantly agreed, but Mira sensed the dread in him. Cities meant surveillance by humans and supernaturals alike. A faint click echoed behind them. Mira turned and found herself staring down the barrel of a hunting rifle. The deputy holding it looked barely old enough to shave. Panic glassed his eyes. "Hands up," he barked. "Sheriff's orders. You there, step away from the lady." Dusk raised his palms, muscles coiled. Selene shook her head, slightly weight. Mira swallowed fear. "Officer, I'm injured. We're trying to reach medical help." The deputy's gaze flicked to her blood-stained bandage. Sympathy wavered across his features, then a walkie on his belt crackled. "Unit 7, confirm capture of the Harper female and retrieve artifact. Use lethal force if necessary." The deputy flinched, eyes widening at the deadly directive. Selene seized the moment. She stepped forward, hands visible. "You don't have to follow that order. The artifact is poison. Let us destroy it. Confusion ward with training." Behind him, deeper in the alley, boot steps approached, reinforcements. Dusk met Myra's gaze. "Can you run?" "Pain or no," she nodded. She whispered to the deputy, voice low, urgent. "Look at me. Do I look like a monster?" His rifle wavered, heart beating thunder. Mira lifted the crystal so he could see the gentle rose light, nothing malevolent. "This stone enslaved the wolves you fear. We're ending that slavery." The deputy's jaw clenched. Heavy footsteps rounded the corner. A hulking sheriff's corporal emerged, shotgun up, eyes shining in unnatural amber, no mere human. At the sight, the young deputy realized the truth and swung his rifle toward the corporal instead. Shots exploded. Selene dragged Mira sideways as Dusk slammed into the corrupted corporal, both crashing through a rotted door. Splinters flew, glass shattered. Somewhere the deputy screamed for backup and silence cut him short. Inside the derelict building, Mira limped over shards, pulse staccato. Dusk grappled the corporal, whose features warped mid-fight, fur erupting, muzzle elongating. The man was a rogue, beholden to Dusk's father. Myra's fingers tightened around the Heartstone shard. Instinct whispered, command it. She focused, recalling the spring's energy. The crystal warmed, humming. She pictured chains unspooling from its core, lashing around the rogue. A rose-gold halo flared. The corporal froze, eyes wide with disbelief, limbs locked. Dusk seized the opportunity, striking a nerve cluster. The rogue collapsed, unconscious. Celine whistled low. Witch blood indeed. Mira wavered, exhaustion dousing adrenaline. I can't keep doing that. Just hold until Richmond, Celine replied, already rifling the corporal's pockets for keys. Then we reunite the Heartstone. Full strength, permanent cure. Dusk touched Myra's shoulder. If anything feels wrong, tell me. His voice, raw and earnest, threaded a promise she had begun to crave more than safety. They hijacked an unmarked cruiser, siren disabled, and sped toward the interstate. Morningside mist burned off, revealing rolling pasture and billboards for antique malls. Celine drove like a fugitive surgeon headed to triage. Mira dozed in the back seat, dreams crammed with flickering ancestral memories. One vision lingered, Catherine Harper forging the original Heartstone on an iron anvil, weeping as wolf howls surrounded her cabin. With each hammer strike, she poured love and fury into the quartz, love for a son lost, fury at the pack who took him. Mira jolted awake, heart racing. The Heartstone wasn't merely a shackle, it was grief crystallized. No cure would last unless that grief was faced. Traffic thickened. Skyscrapers rose, glass catching sunlight like blades. They reached Richmond before noon, weaving through one-way streets until the limestone edifice of Old Dominion Bank loomed, a Gilded Age behemoth with bronze doors. Celine parked in a loading zone. We have minutes before parking enforcement descends. Inside, marble floors echoed under hurried steps. Celine presented forged credentials to a clerk and secured access to the vault level. An elevator whisked them underground. Brass gates parted to reveal rows of safe deposit boxes. Fluorescent lights hummed overhead. Box 713 lay waist-high. Celine inserted a key, turned, click. She lifted the lid. Inside rested a fist-sized fragment, heartbeat bright, facets catching every stray ray. The shard in Myra's pocket pulsed in reply, eager. A tremor rattled the vault. Alarm klaxons blared upstairs. Over the intercom boomed a voice Mira recognized from her visions, rich, commanding, steeped in centuries of arrogance. Celine, son, bring me the witch or watch mortals drown in their own blood. Dusk paled. Father, Celine snapped the fragment shut. There's another exit, old prohibition tunnels that lead to the canal. A crash echoed as something massive slammed the lobby doors. Dusk drifted from the concrete ceiling. Myra's pulse raced. Once we merge the fragments, what happens? Celine met her gaze. They'll reform the Heartstone inside you. You'll wield it, or it will wield you. We won't know until the moment. Not comforting. Another boom thundered overhead, closer. Sprinklers shivered. Mira inhaled, feeling the twin shards rhythmically beating like second hearts. Fear edged each breath, but beneath it lay resolve. She had come this far hurtling from photographer to reluctant witch. Perhaps destiny had been stalking her lens all along. Explosion. Concrete dust billowed. Fluorescent tubes burst. A slab of ceiling caved near the vault entrance, revealing Dusk's father, Magnus Arden, towering, impeccably dressed, gray at the temples, eyes glowing amber like a dying sun. Fragments of shadow licked his shoulders where wolf and man blurred. Give her to me, Magnus growled, voice shaking masonry. The line of Harper ends tonight. Dusk stepped in front of Mira, teeth bared though still human. It ends when you do. Magnus laughed, a sound like splitting ice. With a flick of his wrist, he hurled Dusk against safety deposit boxes, metal screeching. Celine swung a fire axe she'd pried from the wall. Magnus caught the haft and yanked her off her feet, sending her crashing into a filing cabinet. Mira stood alone, heartstones vibrating like twin thunderclouds. Magnus advanced. Child, you don't understand the burden you carry. The heartstone feeds on grief. It will hollow you as it did Catherine, as it did me. Shock flared. You were her lover. Words left Myra's mouth before her brain seized them. Knowledge from inherited memory. Magnus faltered, eyes thinning to slits. I loved her, and she cursed me when I chose my pack over her son. Tears blurred Myra's vision. Not hers, but Catherine's, trickling across centuries. Anger surged, carrying the shards with it. They leaped from pocket and box, orbiting her like twin comets. Pink light ignited to blinding white. Magnus shielded his eyes, snarling. Don't. This ends, Mira said, voice layered with Catherine's timbre now. She clapped her hands, the fragments slammed together mid-air, fusing with a sound like ringing crystal. Light exploded outward, cannon loud, rippling through walls, up elevator shafts, across Richmond skyline. When brightness receded, Mira floated inches off the floor, hair lifting in a non-existent breeze. In her chest glowed the completed heartstone, veined rose gold, beating in sync with her own heart. Magnus staggered. You've bound yourself to it. Fool girl, you will become what I am. Mira landed softly, eyes alight with swirling colors, rose and silver, grief and hope. No, the stone was forged from sorrow but can be tempered by choice. She extended her hand toward him. Yield, and we free the pack together. Magnus' lips peeled back in a snarl, but behind him, a dozen freed wolves burst through rubble, led by the deputy from Ash Hollow, eyes clear of compulsion. They formed a semicircle, watching their former alpha with wary defiance. Celine limped to Dust's side, both bruised but standing. End it, Mira. Before he claims the stone again, Myra's chest burned, stone testing her will like molten lead. She felt Magnus' pain. Centuries of leadership, betrayal, loss. Shadow begged to swallow her empathy and harden into rage. She fought it, holding to a single memory, Dusk's gentle hand on her camera strap when they first met. She whispered, not to Magnus, but to the stone, no more chains. A wave of rose gold radiated outward, washing over every wolf. Their eyes softened, fur receded. Human forms knelt, liberated. Magnus screamed as the wave struck him, embers of shadow ripping free, dissolving in the light. He fell to his knees, aging decades in seconds, amber eyes dimming to gray. Mira swayed, Celine caught her. The vault lay silent save distant sirens and settling dust. Magnus looked up, frail. Catherine, forgive me. Then, with a sigh, he collapsed, body crumbling into fine ash that swirled away on a wind no one felt. Mira clutched the heartstone, breathing hard. Power ebbed, leaving her drained, yet strangely whole. Around them, freed wolves wept, some for joy, some for Magnus. Dusk approached, eyes glistening. You saved us. Mira managed a tired smile. With your help, sirens neared, the mundane world arriving late to a centuries-old war. Celine squeezed Myra's shoulder. We should disappear before questions start. The pack needs a future. Mira met Dusk's gaze. Photographs could wait, healing could not. And somewhere inside, Catherine's grief finally quieted, replaced by possibility. Above, dust-laden light shafted through the ruined ceiling, illuminating them like actors on a stage whose final curtain had not yet fallen. Tremors rippled through Richmond's historic district long after the bank ceiling stopped shedding dust. While emergency crews cordoned off Canal Street, Mira, Dusk, Celine, and a dozen shaken shifters took refuge in an abandoned tobacco warehouse overlooking the James River. Morning sun filtered through cracked skylights, revealing a tableau that looked more like a refugee camp than a victorious pack. Wolves in donated clothes, bruised and blinking against human daylight, every heartbeat keyed to the same anxious rhythm. What now? Mira slumped against a brick pillar, the newly restored heartstone pulsing beneath her sternum. With each beat, it whispered half-formed impressions, remnants of Catherine's memories, shards of Magnus' regret, even snatches of the horn shade's primordial hunger. She pressed a fist to her breastbone, willing the voices into silence. They quieted, but the ache remained, a reminder that the stone might have chosen her, yet it was not done shaping her. Celine paced nearby, phone pressed to her ear, negotiating fake IDs and safe house logistics with a hacker witch in Seattle. Every few steps she winced, one rib clearly cracked. Dusk leaned against a packing crate, arms crossed, stealing glances at Mira whenever he thought she wasn't watching. In his eyes, she saw equal parts admiration and worry. He no longer feared for the pack. He feared what the Heartstone's power could be doing to her. A shrill whistle cut through the warehouse. Deputy Marshal Grant, the young officer who defied Magnus, stood atop a forklift, clipboard in hand. Roll call, folks. His newfound authority sat awkwardly on his shoulders, but people responded. A pack needs structure, even in exile. Names echoed. Claire, Jonah, Louise, B, Astra, each a freed wolf with a story of compulsion lifted. When Grant reached Mira, she gave her human surname. No need to complicate matters with witch blood tonight. Grant nodded, then addressed the group. City police are framing the bank incident as a lone wolf gas line explosion. Lucky for us, nobody's looking for shapeshifters. Unlucky. Federal agents from Wildlife Services are sniffing around. Apparently, someone reported large predators in the River District. A murmur rose. Wolves exchanged uneasy looks. Being hunted by humans bent on quarantining dangerous wildlife was nearly as bad as living under Magnus' tyranny. Grant cleared his throat. We need a convoy out of state before sundown. Vans arrive in 2 hours. We ride north to the Appalachian Sanctuary until he never finished. The warehouse door screeched open and slammed against the wall. In strode a woman in a slate-gray power suit, heels silent despite the concrete floor. Her hair, black shot with platinum, was bound in a tight braid. She carried no weapon Mira could see, yet every wolf bristled instinctively. The woman's gaze moved like a scalpel, weighing, measuring. Dusk stepped forward, posture half defensive, half deferential. Director Aaron Vale, he greeted, voice low. Celine swore under her breath. Great. The Vale Commission. Mira frowned. Who? Interspecies Accord Enforcement, Celine whispered. They police supernatural breaches, and they hate rogue artifacts. Director Vale's steel blue eyes landed on Mira. You hold a Class 7 binding relic outlawed since the Treaty of Duluth, 1913. Her voice had the crisp precision of a judge handing down sentence. Hand it over. Myra's pulse roared. The Heartstone warmed as though sensing threat. Around them, wolves shifted feet, torn between fight and flight. Dusk took Vale's attention. Director, the artifact is stabilized. My father misused it. Mira redeemed it. The pack is free. We intend to disappear, peacefully. Vale raised a brow. On whose authority? Yours? Last I checked, the Arden lineage lost its seat on the Northern Council the moment Magnus violated non-predation protocols. Celine stepped between Mira and Vale. Fractured rib be damned. You can't confiscate the Heartstone without condemning Mira. It's fused with her life force. That is precisely my concern, Vale replied. A human host bound to predatory magic presents an existential risk. Vendetta, emotional instability, trauma. Any could trigger catastrophic resonance. I'm authorized to extract the relic by any means necessary. Cold dread trickled down Myra's spine. She looked to Dusk. He shook his head minutely, lips tightening, not without a fight. Grant spoke up, voice shaky but determined. Director, if you're here to enforce peace, maybe start by listening instead of threatening. Vale's gaze flicked to the deputy. Your badge grants no jurisdiction over arcane containment. Sudden heat flared in Myra's chest, the stone reacting to Vale's escalating menace. Sparks of rose gold energy crawled under her skin, visible through threadbare sleeves. The wolf snarled, senses spiking at the surge. Mira clenched her fists, fighting to keep the power from spilling outward. Vale noticed. Case in point. She extended her right hand. A gauntlet of shimmering titanium unfolded across her forearm, etched with sigils that smelled of ozone. Stand down, Miss Harper. Dusk's growl rumbled. Touch her and your commission will have 2 wars to fight. Tension ratcheted. Myra's vision tunneled, Vale's gauntlet funneled energy like a siphon, designed to rip magic from hosts. The Heartstone pulsed in warning, then Mira sensed something new. The freed wolves' heartbeats sinking, not to Magnus' command, but to hers. They awaited a choice. Not chains, community. Catherine's voice echoed inside. Lead with empathy, not force. Mira inhaled, letting the Heartstone's warmth flood her veins. Steady, luminous. She raised both palms, signaling the pack to hold. To Vale, she said, voice clear despite the quake of power beneath. You want a guarantee? Take me to Accord headquarters. I'll submit to monitoring. But the stone stays with me, its last host bonded by blood and choice. Selene hissed, Mira, they'll lock you up. Better a cage I choose, Mira answered softly, than a hunt I can't control. Vale studied her, eyes narrowing, unreadable. After a beat, she pressed a button on the gauntlet, its glow dimmed. You'll surrender to a neutral tribunal in DC tomorrow at dusk. Until then, I accept your conditional custody if your pack vouches for your restraint. Dusk stepped forward, voice unwavering. We vouch, every wolf here. One by one, the freed shifters nodded, murmuring assent. Vale inclined her head, barely victory, perhaps mere postponement of conflict. Very well, she said. My transport leaves in 30 minutes. She turned on her heel and strode out, door slamming shut, leaving a vacuum of charged silence. Mira exhaled shakily. The Heartstone's energy settled, but worry gnawed. Once inside the Accord's walls, would she ever emerge? Dusk approached, eyes storm dark. Are you sure? No, she admitted. But as long as I carry this, she tapped her chest. Running just paints a bigger target. He cupped her cheek, thumb brushing soot. Then I go with you. Selene joined them, determined. So do I. The Harper Arden feud ends together or not at all. Grant raised his clipboard. Guess the convoy's heading to DC now. A weak chuckle rippled through the pack, tension easing into nervous purpose. Outside, sirens faded and gulls cried over the river. Ordinary sounds in an extraordinary day. But over the warehouse skylight, clouds gathered with unnatural haste, swirling in concentric rings. A thunderclap cracked, though no storm front was forecast. Myra's head snapped up. She saw, high within the vortex, a sliver of void darker than night, like the shades mist, but older. Selene followed her gaze, breath catching. The Heartstone's shockwave, it disturbed the abyssal veil. Something else felt it. She looked at Mira. Something worse than Magnus. Lightning forked silently inside the eye of the spiral, sketching a sigil Mira recognized from ancestral memory. Catherine's true mark, never finished. A grief unhealed, a promise unkept. Myra's heartbeat stuttered. The Heartstone responded, glowing brighter than ever, as if preparing for a battle its creator had foreseen but never fought. Across the warehouse floor, shadows lengthened into shapes that weren't cast by any physical object. Wolves stiffened, hackles rising. Even Director Vale paused at the doorway, staring skyward in unsettled awe. Dust's hand found Myra's. Whatever comes, we face it together. Mira nodded, eyes reflecting the swirling storm above, Heartstone flaming like dawn caught in rose quartz. The next chapter of their saga hovered on the threshold, unknown, vast, and roaring toward them with the promise of new trials. Reverie sifted through Myra's half-sleep as the Vale Commission's armored transport sped up I-95 under an uneasy sky. Clouds above still whirled around that pitch-black eye, though morning light bled peach and gold along the horizon, as if trying to ignore the wound. Inside the cabin, hard plastic seats rattled. Dusk dozed upright, hand clasping hers. Selene hunched over a tablet, mapping ley line stress fractures the shockwave had triggered. Director Vale sat across the aisle, expression unreadable behind mirrored lenses. 30 minutes from Washington, the first ripple hit. The road bucked like a living thing. Tires screeched, the transport fishtailed. Drivers swore through the comms, fighting to keep formation while civilian traffic scattered. Outside, entire lanes cracked open, great fractures coughing bluish flame that smelled of ozone and grave soil. Vehicles vanished into the fissures, re-emerging warped or not at all. Vale ripped off her glasses. Spatial bleed. The abyss is metastasizing faster than predicted. Mira felt the heartstone flare, a furnace suddenly hooked to her veins. Static spider-webbed across her vision. Glimpses of Catherine kneeling beside that same abyss 3 centuries ago, terrified, forging a stopgap where a cure should have been. Grief unfinished is grief that haunts forever. She lurched to her feet, just as a second ripple hurled the convoy sideways. Metal screamed, windows imploded, seat restraints snapped. The transport skidded on its roof, sparks fountaining until friction ground it to a stop beneath an overpass plastered with murals of civil rights heroes, faces chipped but resolute. Dust kicked out a warped emergency hatch. Sirens wailed in the distance, confused echoes of a city losing its shape. They emerged onto asphalt fissured into floating plates, each one drifting like ice floes over bottomless dark. Overhead, the vortex eye now spanned half the sky. Iris black, Scara glowing bruise purple. From its center descended oblivion hounds, shapes of shadow stitched with starlight, jaws unhinged wider than physics allowed. Vale raised her gauntlet. Sigil beams lanced the first hound, but it regenerated mid-air. Selene tossed vials of moonsault that slowed another's approach, yet thousands more spiraled down. This was not a battle to be won by attrition. Mira strode to the edge of a floating slab. Wind tugged at her hair, roaring with the sound of Catherine's unfinished lament. The heartstone thrummed, hotter than magma. She sensed its intent, fused with the abyss, sealed the tear, but at the cost of its host. A living keystone requires a living sacrifice. Dust's voice broke through the clamor. There has to be another way. Mira met his gaze, love and terror braided tight. Catherine never forgave herself, or Magnus. That sorrow anchored the stone to revenge. But grief can transform. She glanced at Selene, at freed wolves rallying behind overturned cruisers, at Vale standing shoulder to shoulder with a species she once hunted. We rewrite the covenant together. Vale lowered her weapon. Explain quickly. Mira inhaled, heartstone radiating rose gold until her ribs glowed through torn fabric. The abyss feeds on pain unspoken. If we pour acceptance into the stone, collective, unconditional, it can stitch the veil without claiming another life. Selene nodded, eyes bright. Pack bond multiplied by witch blood resonance. We need everyone's raw truth, felt at once. Vale's jaw worked. You're asking soldiers and civilians to meditate in a war zone. I'm asking them to feel. A hound dive bombed, dusk tackled Mira clear as Vale's gauntlet flash decapitated it. The pieces dissolved into embers of night. More swarmed. The clock was sand slipping fast. Dust climbed onto a median slab that floated 3 feet above asphalt, voice amplified by alpha timbre. Pack. Circle. Wolves, still in human skin, grabbed hands, forming concentric rings around Mira. Vale barked orders. Agents, deputies, even dazed civilians joined, palm to palm, chain of frail humanity against cosmic fracture. Mira closed her eyes. Show me your hearts. Memories cascaded. Selene's childhood laughter before her father's indoctrination. Vale's fear the first time she witnessed magic swallow a village. Dust's lonely nights guarding ruins, believing redemption impossible. Grant's doubt as he aimed a rifle at his corrupted superior. Pain, love, regret, hope, streams merging into a single river. The heartstone drank it all, colors shifting from rose to opalescent dawn. Heat gave way to cool breeze, scented with morning dew. The vortex above trembled. Oblivion hounds shrieked as threads of pale light lassoed them, tugging upward into the closing eye. Fissures knotted shut, leaving only faint seams across the highway. As the last town dissolved, a final surge of energy funneled through Mira, lifting her inches off the slab. She felt the stone loosen from her chest, not tearing, but unfolding, a lotus releasing seeds. Petals of crystal drifted skyward, embedding along the sealed scar until the storm's iris glinted like a mosaic of dawn-like scales. The vortex winked out, leaving serene blue punctured only by contrails and the faint silhouette of migrating geese. Mira collapsed. Dust caught her before her knees hit pavement. The glow in her sternum faded to a faint birthmark pale swirl. The heartstone was gone, dispersed, yet she felt lighter, not hollow. Shared grief had transmuted into collective guardianship. No single soul must bear it again. Around them, people released hands, blinking as though waking from a vivid dream. Celine exhaled a shaky laugh. Vale wiped tears before anyone could notice. Grant radioed HQ that the wildlife threat had abated, no further explanation forthcoming. Ambulances and news choppers converged, but the pack melted into the labyrinth of stalled cars before cameras could fix on their faces. Vale let them go, offering only a curt nod to Mira, as much apology as protocol allowed. Hours later, under a pedestrian bridge draped in wisteria, Dusk wrapped a jacket around Myra's shoulders. "How do you feel?" "Like a lens that finally focused," she said, gaze tracking sunlight dappled on river water. Within her, residual magic hummed quieter than blood, but steadfast, a promise, not a chain. Celine approached with coffee scavenged from an abandoned food truck. The council's offering temporary sanctuary in the Smokies. Wolves rebuild, witches council. "You in?" Mira smiled. "On one condition, I document everything. Truth beats legend." Dusk squeezed her hand, photographer of the new accord. Across the river, church bells tolled noon. Traffic crawled again. Humans resumed their small, urgent lives, unaware how close despair had come to devouring dawn. Mira lifted her camera, salvaged, lens chipped but functional, and framed Dusk against the skyline, free of shadows for the first time since she met him. She pressed the shutter. Click. Some stories begin in darkness. The best linger in sunrise, haunted yet hopeful, stitched by hearts that dare to break and heal in unison.